มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide
Hey, what's going on? What's going on, everybody? This is the second portion, as we had promised, the second portion of our interview with Justin, the Purple People Eater Greskwitz. We decided to splice this interview into two because it went a little longer than we expected. And we just had a lot of stuff to talk to Justin about. And we really didn't get around to talking about everything. So like we said, we really enjoy talking to Justin. He's a cool guy to shoot the breeze with, and he's definitely somebody that we feel is going to be back on the podcast a couple more times because we love talking to him. So as promised, we are now going to be presenting you with the second portion of that interview we did with Justin Greskwitz.
The Striking Corner.
I wanted to fast forward a little bit in the sense of, I mean, I know that you, speaking of Ray, I mean, you guys actually fought on the, that Muay Thai America card. And I know you suffered a pretty ugly, injury there and then had a whole bunch of issues there as well. And it kind of went viral. Mm-hmm. Post that you did.
Well, thank you guys for your help with that.
We had to help with
Thanks
that, man.
Everybody for that help. That was crazy. Yeah. That was definitely a crazy thing.
Yeah.
Should I tell that story?
Of course. Yeah, man. We wanted the controversy is king, man.
So like I said, like, you know, I've really tried my best to be good to people in Muay Thai because I've done a lot of promoters, like some really solids by, you know, I've made a name for myself. Not everybody knows who I am, but a lot of people that are in the sport know me as somebody who will fight anybody in the world, mm-hmm. and put on a good show, and you know, not and you know, like, you know, I don't have a great, like, I have a pretty good record, and I don't have a pristine record, and you know, a lot of the like super killer dudes that I've fought, like, have beat me, and I put up good fights, but like, you know, I lost to Kevin Ross, I lost to Malapet twice now. Mm-hmm. That last one, man, if one more round, I think I could have had him. I would actually like to fight Malapet again. Is if we could just try to convince him where he's not allowed to throw like a body kick, then I totally would love to fight. You know, that'd be perfect. Getting kicked by that guy is like getting hit by a dump truck over and over again. It sucks so bad.
Yeah, really,
he definitely kicks the hardest I've ever felt. Anyway, but you know, I fought Liam Harrison. You know, I got stopped by him, and you know, I fought these top level guys, and like I fought these guys because nobody else would fight them. You know, mm-hmm. they brought these dudes over and they're really looking for good opponents for them. And people would just, like, everybody would back out. People would say, like, yeah, I'll fight him. And then it kind of comes down to it. And they're looking for somebody, a last minute replacement. So I actually fought Kevin on 6 days notice. I fought the week before. I fought a 5-round banger with Ben Yell. And I ended up winning a 5-round decision, like a unanimous decision. And then the next Saturday, 8 days later, I fought Kevin. And I took it on 5 days notice. So, like, I took a super short notice. And, like, I fought these tough guys, and that's how people know me, you know, and promoters like really respect me. And like, for, you know, there've been a couple events where, like with Lion Fight, like they've had like dudes, you know, have problems to be the main event, like especially main event stuff. Like there've been a couple fights where dudes have been, you know, pulled out, whatever. And, you know, Christine Toledo, she's awesome. She's the matchmaker for mm-hmm. Lion Fight. She always knows like that my answer will be yes. Like, of course I'll fight him. Give me a little bit of money, you know, fly me up there, like treat me all right. And, you know, I'll fight him. I don't care who he is. Like mm-hmm. they're anywhere close to my size. I'll make weight and, you know, I'll fight him. And, you know, we ended up not being able to come to agreement on the two like last minute replacements that they're looking for, recently. But like, I've made a name for myself and people respect me for that. You know, they know that I'm always in shape. You know, I don't take a lot of time off. I stay active. I'm a good fighter. I'll put on a good show, and it doesn't matter who they are. I'll fight them, you know, you know, who knows? Like I made a name for myself, like taking fights like that and kind of really bringing it to dudes when they kind of thought that I was going to like get handled and really bringing it to dudes and like beating some dudes and getting my name. That's how I got hooked up out west. I was a last minute replacement. And then I fought Joey Pagliuso and we actually fought to a draw, but I sort of brought it to him. Yeah. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, we thought you were the dude that was here to get his ass kicked by Joey. And, you know, it was like one of those things like, nope, like I kind of handled him for a little bit. Like it was a pretty close fight, but like, you know, if you ask me, I really thought I won that fight. I didn't think there was any question about it, but you know, I ended up getting a call back and fighting on that show 4 times that same year, you know, and it was like, I've made a name for myself doing that. So people like, I've looked out for promoters and I've looked out, you know, for a lot of fighters, like, you know, I've made a name for myself, you know, not only as a fighter, but you know, I help out other promoters find fighters and I look out for other fighters when there's shows that come up and I'm a referee and a judge and people know that I'm one of the good guys in the sport. I don't make enemies, you know, here because I'm talking shit on people or anything like that. Like, you know, I'm looking out for people and I don't do people wrong. I won't, you know, I never back out of fights. I never have any of my guys back out of fights. I never, you know, talk smack on anybody. And I always, again, respectful and, you know, all my guys are the same. So, when I fought on the Muay Thai America show, it was a good opportunity. And it was one of those shows too. That little warning bell was going off in my head. We're going to do it bigger and better than anybody ever, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, yeah. They promoted it massively. And it was like this thing where it was like, you know, the Thai dancers and all sorts of craziness going on. And it was going to be pay-per-view. I mean, I remember it was like, damn, you know, a lot of top-notch guys were going to be on it, including yourself and all these other Julie Kitchen, all that type of stuff. So, yeah, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a huge event. And it was really, really, like, awesome. And I got a chance to fight. I was supposed to fight. There was actually two previous opponents that they were looking for. One was a Thai dude that I think he was a Rajah champion way back when, but it was like an older Thai dude that hadn't fought in a long time that ended up fighting like a little bit later again, like made it like a return, and it was probably 25, 30 pounds over what he was Raja champion at, whatever. Just, you know how it happens. Like, those dudes kind of make a comeback, whatever. So that was like the first one. And then they're like, okay, he's out. But you want to fight Naron Paul? I was like, yeah, I love that guy. He's like 36 feet tall, right? Like, I like that guy. He's crazy. So I was going to fight him, and then that kind of fell through. And then they're like, okay, we got somebody finally. We got this dude, Salah. And I was like, all right, cool. And at that time, he was only like 20. And I had seen some of his fights, and he just looked like ape shit, like bouncing around Taekwondo style, like real. And I was just like, dude, I'm going to walk forward and just bury into this dude. And, you know, I'm excited about this fight. And like, it was like, you know, right around the time when he really started to pick up his training a lot. And we started fighting, and it was one of those things. He was really weird style where he would switch back and forth, but it was good. Like, he started to surprise me a little bit, throwing some good like Muay Thai techniques, and his timing was weird. And it was really, really back and forth. Then like, you know, I'd kind of pull ahead, and then he'd kind of pull ahead, and I'd kind of pull ahead. And then he's like really tall and long. And I was like, I mean, the fight was at 47, but I was huge. I was like really, really muscular, really, really lean. I felt great. I was doing really well in the clinch. I felt super strong. Like, you know, gas tank felt really good. And he his timing and stuff was a little bit weird. So he threw like a lead knee and stepped forward and kind of landed a rear elbow, and it skipped right on the top of my like eyebrow and like cut me a little bit, but then slid down and cut me right on the top eyelid and cut me like very small, but then it landed hard on my lower eyelid, on my right eye, and it landed real, real hard, like right on my eyelid, and cut from the corner of my eyelid, like right into the side where your nose is, all the way to like 3/4 along the bottom side. So it smashed me really hard in the eye, and then it cut the lower eyelid. So basically there was nothing really holding my eye in my face. So my eye kind of drooped out, like didn't like, you know, hanging from a string, like a golf ball on a string hanging down or anything like that. But it was like drooping down onto my cheekbone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ow, I got cut. And I was like, I'm cut. And then I'm like, shit, I can't see. So I like took a knee, and like the ref started counting me, and I turned to my coach, who were right in my corner. I'm like, I can't see. And like, as soon as like I turned, there was like a camera right there, and I heard like there was a ton of people there, and there was, it was like in the place where he built the Spruce Goose, you know, that movie, the Aviator. It was in that big hangar that he built that Spruce Goose. So there's these giant bleachers, and there's just like thousands of people there. There's this giant big screen, and there's a camera right there. And I heard like 3,000 people sound like they were about to puke. Like, it wasn't like, ah, it was like, oh. And I was just like, oh shit. And I looked up, and my eye looked terrible. They, yeah. you know, they stopped, you know, they stopped the fight. You know, and I walked right out of the ring, right into an ambulance, and I had no idea. Like, I was pissed because it was a good fight for me. I thought I was going to win the fight. And it was just like a freak thing. And with all the awesome fighters and the awesome coaches that were on there, they were like, dude, I've watched a million fights and I've never seen anything as crazy as that bullshit. I've never seen anything as disgusting as that injury. So basically what happened was I got that cut, and then like, they took me to the hospital, and like, I had no idea like how bad it was, whatever. Like, cause there was no eyelid to like open and close. I was like, I didn't know if I lost my sight, whatever. We got in the ambulance, and they kind of like pried my eyelid open and shined a light. I'm like, oh, well, at least I can see a giant light in my eyeball.
Yeah.
I went to the emergency room, and like, all right, well, we got to take some, you know, x-rays and whatever. I'm like, don't fucking take an x-ray. Just stitch me up. Like, I've been here for hours. Just stitch me up. I'm like, oh, you're refusing treatment? I'm like, no. So then they take an x-ray, and they take like, a CAT scan and stuff. And they're like, yep, we thought so. There's a broken orbital here and here. And I was like, oh, I thought I was just cut. So turned out that my orbital bone was broken in a couple places, and they suggested that I go get it checked out as soon as I got home. I was in LA and I live in Philly. So I was there, they stitched it up. And basically what the doc was saying is that, yeah, I think your lacrimal duct, which is the little like pinhole that's in the corner of your eye. Mm-hmm. That's actually a duct for when you have tears that come in your eye, that drips out into your nose. It drains out into your nose. Yeah. So that's like, if you're like crying and how your nose runs,
yeah,
it's actually
yeah, yeah.
tears dripping into your nose. But not that I've ever cried before, but no. So they basically were like, yeah, well, you might need to get a lacrimal stent. And I was like, okay. So as soon as I came back here, the dude was like, of course, we got to put a lacrimal stent in. So they basically had to recut the same thing apart and feed a tube through it. So that way it kind of put the two pieces of the duct back together, and then sew it back up and then tie it off in my nose. So that was the only time I've ever had like a legit like bad injury, knock on wood, but
yeah,
it was the only time I've ever been like under. So I had to get the emergency surgery there, take a ride there. But then as soon as I flew out here, they were like, yo, as soon as you get home, you got to see a plastic surgeon to get that, like, you know, to get it checked out and get it fixed. And so then they were like, yeah, we might have to put a plate in your eye because it's recessed, because the basket of the piece of a bone that holds your eye in place was shattered in this place. It was broken in this place and this place on the bottom and on the back. So my whole eyeball sunk into my face a couple millimeters.
Yeah.
And usually when that happens, basically you see double. So, I mean, I actually never had the surgery to fix it. So it healed on itself, but my eye does sit back a little bit. And like, that surgery would have brought it back forward, but sometimes they say like, if I don't have double vision before, sometimes after the surgery you'll get double vision at least for a couple months.
Yeah.
So I actually elected not to have that surgery because I don't have double vision now, but they had to cut the same cut that I just got stitched up and feed this tube into it and then restitch it back up. And apparently my girlfriend said that I was a real treat coming out of anesthesia. I just wouldn't stop dropping F-bombs, and I was like super hot. And I was like, oh my God, let me outside. It's so hot in here. They're like, no, 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 sir, you have to lie down. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so hot. I got like naked in front of like the nurse. I was like, sorry. But yeah, so I got, that was the only time I ever had like a bad injury where I needed surgery. You know, I've probably had 200 stitches in my face. But that was the only time I needed like surgery.
Yeah.
So, the whole time, the promoter's name, this guy named Don McDaniels, who was really, really nice to me. And you know, I said, there was definitely warning bells going off in my head. Like, you know, he said he's going to do the biggest, baddest thing, you know, whatever. And I was excited to be a part of it. And I thought that it was kind of what we needed, but, I don't know. So, I guess he lost a lot of money trying to put on the biggest show in the world. And basically I just like forwarded him the bill. He's like, you know, he told me, you know, basically you get injured, you know, fighting, and it's on the promoter to fix it. It's part of their insurance. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'll take care of it. And so I forwarded him all the stuff. And then months later, I got like a call from like a creditor, like, hey, you have this outstanding bill. Can you pay it today? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Outstanding bill for what? And they're like, oh, it's cosmetic surgery. I was like, I've never had cosmetic surgery, but the place that I got my eye done, it was like a plastic surgeon. So that's like what they're called. There's a cosmetic surgeon. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's this guy here. I'll give you his info. And basically, like, I would just always, whenever this creditor would call me, like, at that point, I'm already, like, getting screwed with, like, my credit, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it was, like, years. It was, like, years at this – and it wasn't a lot. It was, like, the deductible of what wasn't paid for by insurance. It was, like, $1,500. But, like, for me, like, I don't – this, that's my only job is Muay Thai. And, like, I've always scraped, you know? Like, I fight professionally and you know, there are times when I'm fighting for, you know, $500. I mean, normally I fight for a little bit more now, but, like – you know, that you're putting your life on the line and you're getting paid pennies, but at least, you know, like if you're injured, that the promoter is going to take care of it, you know, that's not an expense that you should have to pay for. So,
yeah.
You know, he promised me that he would take care of it. And then it just went like years. So finally, like I got to this point where basically the dudes that would call me like every day would be, or, you know, the creditor guys were like, dude, you know, I totally understand, but like this dude's not answering our calls anymore, and he keeps promising us to do this, promise, and then he stopped answering my calls and stuff. So then what I ended up doing is like, you know, I don't want to make it bad for him, but basically like I got to a point where it was gonna affect my future. You know, it was gonna affect like my ability to have any loans, my ability to like if I was ever gonna buy a house or anything like that. Like it really was screwing up my life. And like this dude, like, is a well-off dude. Like he, you know, one of those guys wearing like a, you know, a multi-$1,000 suit around with like a nice watch and like, you know, whatever. And like he gave me all these like these like, you know, these really like, you know, heartbreaking stories. Like, dude, I lost so much money on that event. Like, I still haven't paid everybody back. Like, you know, I almost lost my family. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry you got in an argument with your wife, but like, I almost lost my eye. You know, like, sorry that you had like a rough weekend, like arguing with your wife, maybe. But like, I almost lost my eye and like my ability to like, you know, earn a living. You know, this is my livelihood. Like, I know maybe you had a tough time, like you had an argument, but like it's a little different. Like you didn't almost lose your family. Like you maybe had an argument, like sorry about that, but like, you know, like it was one of those things. Like homeboy drove like a super nice car, he had like super nice suits, like expensive watches, and just was like, you know, living a lifestyle where him shelling out $1,500, I don't care how bad the event did, you know what I mean? Like, dude, you take that responsibility as the promoter. And you make good, man. Like you make good on what you said, and you come through with your promise. And it was one of those things that I just kind of reached out on Facebook, and you know, I have a million friends on Facebook, people that I never met before, because I always like accept everybody, because you know, people know you through Muay Thai, and I'm always worried that somebody's gonna have some sort of a connection to like a possible fight in the future. So I just accept everybody, you know, and I end up having to weed out the weirdos later. I just posted up something like, hey guys, like I just want to let you know this guy hasn't done this, and like do me a favor. He blocked me on Facebook because I keep asking him, do me a favor and like, you know, like repost this and like tag him in it and ask him like what's up. And like the first person to comment on anything was Kevin Ross. And it was like, dude, you know what? I'm glad that I have buddies. You know, I'm glad that I have friends. And like, of course, when he shared it, like a bunch of people saw it, and like, you know, a whole bunch of people were like had my back, and like everybody was like, dude, that's fucked up. And it only took like 48 hours for him to pay when that happened. So I was like, nice. You know, I was really, really happy. And it's like, you know, I don't want to make it hard for anybody. I don't want to like, you know, burn any bridges, but like, dude, like come through on it. Like my future is, you know, kind of, so that was the biggest horror story I've had to deal with. And since then I've actually had to follow up with a couple promoters about, you know, like a few stitches. Actually this summertime, I actually had two fights that I got cut, and both of them I had to follow up with the promoter of paying, because it's weird, man, because like since I was the one that was treated, even though it's an event and everything's covered under the promoter's insurance, still what happens is it goes under me. So if it doesn't pay, it's like my name, you know what I mean? But then the promoters have to come through. So like they ended up taking care of it, like eventually, but I didn't have to like hunt these guys down.
Yeah, but the reason it went viral is because exactly like you've said, like we've talked about, it's just that everybody knows you and that you're kind of the guy that takes on all comers and really doesn't talk shit about anybody and is pretty cool with everybody. And also, man, I mean, kind of hats off to you in a way that you kind of let it go a lot longer than you needed to. You know, I think somebody else would have given him shit, you know, pretty much a lot sooner. You kind of let it, you gave him the benefit of the doubt for a long time until it started getting to a point, like you said. It's not like it's not like you guys make, you know, that's the thing about Muay Thai, which sucks, because it's not like, you know, you got, it's such a difficult sport. You know, we get hurt, we get, you know, cut, we get beat up. And then at the end of the day, it's really all about the love, because it's not like a lot of these guys, especially the top level guys. It's not like you guys are making millions of dollars. It's not even like you're making thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars doing it, you know? So, you know, that type of stuff, when you said that, when you put that out there, a lot of people just jumped on board and were like, you know, and I mean, I think they did they did the shit talking for you, man, because there was some pretty heavy duty comments on there.
I know, it was pretty good,
that weren't yours, you know. Yeah, so you kind of washed your hands clean, and then everybody else kind of. Right?
it's cool to have tough guys that are your friends. You know what I mean? Like, cool. Yeah, yeah. No, I was super, like, it's one of those things that. You know, there've been a couple times in the last couple years, especially, where there've been like moments where like I've like stepped back and been like, oh, people care about me, people like me, like So you know, that was definitely one of them. I was like, man, it's so good to be, because there's a lot of dudes that have been doing it a long time that don't have a lot of like friends, because they're real quick to pull the trigger about like, you know, like why other people aren't cool, or why, you know, they're cooler than other people, or why fuck this guy and fuck that guy. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not really like that. So I really like most people, and I try to give them the benefit of the doubt, but you know, so people looked out for me with that. And that was cool.
So let's go, moving on to now that we're in 2016. I mean, what's on the schedule for you now? I mean, I know you've been doing a lot of, you've been doing some fights recently, and now what's going on in 2016? Do you have anything scheduled coming up? Or
Yeah, I do. It's actually, this is the longest layoff that I've had since I started training, even. Mm-hmm. So I my last fight was in August of 2015, and it's been what, like 4.5 months now or something, almost five, you know, 4.5 months. But I've been bummed. I don't have anybody scheduled to beat up, but I just got an opportunity a couple weeks ago. And it looks like the next lion fight that's going to be in the East Coast, it looks like I'll be on that.
Okay.
Which is cool, man. I really like the lion fight guys. They're it's a good show. They do it the right way. They treat you right. You know, they pay you well, considering of, you know, what Muay Thai dudes get paid. I mean, you don't get paid super well, because Muay Thai doesn't pay super well, but they pay you as well as anybody else does, pretty much. And, you know, they look out for you. And like I said, I've been willing to step up for them a few times, and they knew that they could fall back on me a couple of times. So they gave me an opportunity for this one. I don't know. Can I tell you guys who? I haven't given them back my contract yet. I've already filled it all out. It looks like it's all – I'll do. All right. If I get in trouble with this, I'm going to yell at you guys. But it looks like that I'll actually be taking the step up to fight Kai Hollenbeck at 55 for that one.
So, oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, I hope they don't give us shit. I mean, we like them. So but I hope they don't give us shit and be like, hey. But, I mean,
it's an advertisement. It's free advertisement.
Yeah. We were talking about them last week, actually, when we kind of did our, you know, we're back kind of podcast, and we're talking about how really Lion Fight, in a lot of ways, you know, I've always been kind of a fan of this idea of the East, because you, like you were saying, like a lot of the red flags kind of shoot up when somebody tells you, you know, this is going to be the greatest event ever that we've ever seen. You know, the same thing that happened with Muay Thai in America, you know, well, Shindo Kumite back in the day, they were doing that, you know, when Muay Thai Premier League came out as well, you know, this is going to be the most amazing thing. In a way, it even happened a little bit. I mean, I don't want to say it too much, but you know, with Glory, they started out really well, and now it's kind of like they're trying to get back on the right track again, you know.
Yeah.
But Lion Fight,
it definitely happened a little bit with K1 too. And yeah, I mean, K1 was like, we're back, and they had that huge event out in Cali.
Yeah, yeah. Where you fought Bryce.
I fought Bryce. Yeah, yeah. And that dude's a good dude too, man. I like all these dudes that we fight, you know. You know, we fought that, and there was eight of us that fought, and it was supposed to be like a bracketed tournament that we were going to fight. And then they like kind of changed it. We're like, well, we don't know if you guys will fight each other or if you'll fight other guys around the world.
Yeah.
And then it just never happened. And then like 2 years later, they ended up trying to make it happen again. But then like they only had two of us out of the four winners, and it was me and Joey, and we both fought up in Canada. And K1's still around, just everything's in China now.
Yeah.
And China is a huge, huge thing. But the problem with K1 is that everybody knows K1 is going to be exciting. There's going to be top level fighters, but it's like trying to convince somebody, you know, it's like, you know, these companies, these people, they're trying to convince people to buy it. It's like trying to convince somebody to buy a Rolls Royce with four flat tires and no rims. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like you owe all these people money already. And like, there's all this problems that go along with it. It's like, you know, it's still Rolls Royce. It's still K1. Like, it's this great, awesome thing that, you know, is going to bring a certain level of fighters, but it's like, they've had these problems in the past. But, you know, I fought on there in January last year, and they're still having some other fights and stuff. So I think they're kind of rebuilding in China. Hopefully they'll bring in international again. But, you know, the dudes that I work with, those guys are always the dudes that work with them now.
Yeah.
Are really, really nice guys. So I like dealing with them, and I hope it works out for them. And I hope they get back. But and the same thing with Glory. Like, what, you know, we'll see how it goes again. But you know,
I think
what happened with Glory was that they had all these awesome free events, and they were like, cool, cool. Now let's go big and let's make it a pay-per-view. But it was like, if you just would have had like three more free events, everybody would have been hooked. You know,
no, that's where, man, I mean, that's, you know, I think everybody agrees on that point, man.
Yeah, all right, that's cool.
It was too soon.
At least I'm not going to get shot for that. All right, cool.
No, well, everybody.
I won't get shot alone.
Everybody agrees on that point, man. Everyone was like, yo, it's way too early for you to do a pay-per-view, man. Like, you know, that whole last man standing. And plus, I mean, it was a pay-per-view of like, if you would have done that card for free, that card was incredible, man. You know, like,
dude,
you know, so it was just that was the wrong way to go, which is why I say, like, going back to Lion Fight, I just think they've done, you know, the right things, kind of like the slow and steady wins the race, you know, doing little things, you know. Okay, first we're gonna stay local, we're in Vegas, all right, now we can move a little bit to California, now we can go to the East Coast, and, you know, now we can bring in Fabio Pinca, now we can bring in Yatsen Kai, you know, now we can bring in these guys from the East Coast to fight some of these West Coast guys. So it's really working well, you know. So
I think so. And you know what, like, I really you know, you always want to see improvement, you know, but you don't want people to think they have to reinvent the wheel, you know. And every time somebody has an idea to do the things bigger, better, and whatever, you always are just like, oh God, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. There's a reason why people don't spend this much money on Muay Thai events. And there's a reason why. And it's like, you know, you see these guys with Lion Fight. And I actually met Scott before Lion Fight was even a thing, when he was working still with Dennis Warner doing the WCK. And Scott has always been a really, really nice guy. You know, he's like a super nice, like, legitimate, like, genuine dude. Like, when he talks to you, he, like, looks at you and listens to you. And he's a busy dude, and he's, like, a nice guy. But he's also, like, a really smart businessman, where being nice to people is kind of good business, you know?
Treating
people right is kind of good business. And, you know, the right people are in place, that they have high-level fights. They have, you know, happy fighters where they treat them well, and they, you know – And that's another thing too, that a lot of these promoters have no connection to the fight game, and they just try to do everything themselves. And like, then you think about, like, okay, so Lion Fight, like, I don't know, like, really how Scott got into promoting, or if he ever was a fighter or was ever interested in martial arts ever before. But like, I don't deal with Scott all the time. I deal with Christine, because she's the matchmaker, and she was a fighter, and she knows what it's like to be treated by promoters. So she is like that connection, you know, to the fighters. She's the one that does, you know, the talking to the fighters to figure out stuff, because she knows what it's like. And she knows, you know, anytime there's an event that is a high level event, like, there needs to be that kind of care for the fighters, that, you know, people that have been through it. So I really think that they've done the right thing by putting her in charge of you know, being in touch with a lot of the fighters and stuff. They treat them right, and, you know, they do things big. They do things bigger than anybody else, but it's not like crazy big, like where they're gonna lose all their money. And you know what, I know, honestly, like, you know, I know firsthand that there's definitely some growing pains that go along with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having, you know, people that haven't quite been paid yet. And there's always, you know, there's like a, you know, the problem that I think they're finding now is that they have all these events lined up. And sometimes when the money comes in from the last event, it's already tied up for the next event, you know? And it's like, you know, they're finding that balance, and I wish them the best, and they still, you know, even though I know that they've had a little bit of problems, you know, in this last year, I've heard a little bit of gripes about it, and, you know, I know a little bit firsthand that I won't really talk too much about, but they've had some problems, but you know, they're still, they're doing their best to be, you know, transparent with people, like, okay, listen, like, I'm, you know, I'm sorry about this, sorry about that, but like, we're doing this, like, we're doing that. And like, you know, they do their best, even if things aren't perfect, to make people as happy as they can. And really, like, they're transparent about it. So they, you know, it's something that you need to be understanding. And you know, especially if you are looking at it for the long run of Muay Thai, you got to be a little bit, you know, empathetic to the fact that they have some growing pains, and I totally get it, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
I think one of the biggest problems that Lion Fight has right now is being on Access TV.
Yeah.
Because
it's such a weird channel, right? It's like, yeah, middle.
Not everyone has it, and certain providers don't even, like, certain people don't even have the option to have that channel.
Yeah. That would include myself, man. Like, here in Florida, unless you have DirecTV. Unless you have DirecTV, you can't get it. You know, like, nobody else cares yet. So, which, you know, a lot of people don't have satellite in Florida because of the fact that it's like raining all the time, you know, and when there's bad weather, you're going to lose it. So like Xfinity and like those type of things took over here, Comcast and all that, and they don't carry Access. Yeah. So it's like always I have to go to like somebody else's house or, you know, tell Vinny to like let me watch it through Skype. So it's like that's kind of like what I've been, you know, that's the only thing I see. But I think, you know,
what problems, right?
Yeah, but exactly.
Maybe they should go after Glory Spot on Spike.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know what I think it is? I mean, I think it's just that we don't know the, as you said, you know, we don't know the inner workings of what contracts or how things they have or how they have it set up. You know, maybe they eventually do want to move to somewhere else, but they just can't yet or whatever, you know. I wish them nothing but the best because, like I said, I think out of, if we really look back this year, the ones that really kind of consistently put on a solid product have been them, and they've been the ones that have shown, as you said, Justin, like that you want to see improvement, and they're the ones that have been kind of showing that they've been improving. You know, like this next card coming up, you know, with Fabio Pinca and Charlie Boy Peters and Tiffany Van Soest fighting Ashley Q. I mean, those all are, you know, it's going to be a great card, you know, and that's something that it's kind of been consistent with them, you know.
For sure, sure. You know, you're going to see a certain level, and you know they do it the right way too, where they have. You know, they'll sell out a venue or come close to selling out a venue because they have enough local fighters on it. And then they have the high level draw international fighters that people that have no way to be there will still tune in, or they'll bully somebody to get them to Skype them a video of it or whatever. And people will watch, you know?
Like, All right, man. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, dude. As always, you know, we're glad to always have you on, man. And, you know, we wish you the very best in 2016, not only for you in this upcoming fight with Kai Hollenbeck, which I hope, you know, Christine and Scott don't, you know, shoot you and then shoot me for it.
Yeah,
but
that would be really bummer, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to die.
But, you know, so good luck in 2016. You're definitely looking forward to that fight. And good luck to your guys at Stay Fly Muay Thai, man. You know, we always keep an eye on what's going on with you guys as well and your gym. And you're one of the good guys in the game, man. I always have been, you know, plus you're on the East Coast, which is what we are. You know, we're East Coast guys as well, being in the game with there. And so, you know, we wish you nothing but the best, man. And thank you for chatting with us for a little bit, man.
Yeah, man, for sure, dude. And you know, hit me up again. I'm sure we got a lot more to talk about. So,
of course. Of course, man.
We didn't really cover much of anything today.
I know.
Like three topics.
I know, man. I talk too much. I'm sorry. I had no idea like what you guys wanted to talk about, whatever. But we talked about some good stuff.
We talked about good stuff, man. We talked about controversy. We talked about, you know, you not wanting to get shot and die by Scott Kent. And, you know, that's cool.
Oh,
that's,
man.
Cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, have me on again soon, and we'll talk more about cool, dumb stuff.
Yeah, of course, man. Always.
Hey,
you're always welcome.
Do you have any guys fighting on the 20th at Warriors Cup?
So I don't know yet. I don't think that they've really kind of filled that card yet. I actually, you know, I just got word that that was happening. But before that, on January 30th, my young stud, Joe Logan, he's not that young, but he certainly is a stud. He's fighting Rami Ibrahim, and that's going to be rad. I'm really, really stoked because I fought Rami a while ago. I like Rami, but that was another one of those fights that was in New York, no elbows, and I fought and – that one's on YouTube. I'll let you guys, you know, go check that out. They called that one a draw. I'm really bummed they did, but that's a rematch that I've looked for a million times and have never gotten the nod from Rami to do. So I'm really, really happy that My boy Joe, who fights as light as 126, is taking a step up to 140 to fight Rami. Mm-hmm. And it's in Hamburg, Pennsylvania, which is like right outside of the middle of nowhere. It's right there. But it's like it's like 2 hours outside of Philly, or an hour and a half, which is like both of our hometown. Mine and Rami, we're both from Philly.
Yeah.
And another one of my dudes, this kid named PJ Sweeta, who's from that area, he actually is 1-0 as a pro Muay Thai fighter. His only pro fight was against Danny Millett from King's Thai Boxing in New York. And he stopped Danny with an elbow in the second round of his pro debut, which was a big step up for him and was really good. But PJ and Joe are both absolute murderers, and they're scary humans. And I hate sparring them. And I'm really, really excited that they get to punch somebody else other than me.
All right. Nice, man. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. Definitely want to keep an eye on that Joe Logan and Rami fight as well.
Sure. It's going to be huge. Yeah, people are going to be upset about that.
All right, man.
Yeah.
All right,
Joe's gonna tear his leg off. People are gonna be real upset.
All right, man. So once again,
man.
Talking
shit, huh?
Yeah. No, we're not. No, I'm real excited. I'm excited. I like Rami, man. But I'm real excited that my friend gets to
meet. Of course, man. Of course, it's like we're good. We're all good friends, but you know, we're happy one of our students gets to punch the other guy in the face. It's cool.
Oh my god, I'm so stoked.
All right, man. So thanks for being on, and we will talk soon, bro. All right.
Yeah, please. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.
All right, peace.
All right. So awesome talking to Justin Greskowitz, man. Vinny, I think we talked a lot about very little in the amount of time that we spoke with him, man. He just a cool guy to talk to, fun guy to talk to, a lot of energy, one of the cool guys in the sport, man. Definitely going to have him on more than this time, man. So
we'll probably have him on a couple more times.
Definitely.
I mean, but it's just fun conversation. It makes you laugh, you know. It all has to do with Muay Thai, which makes me happy.
Yeah. No, and he's one of the cool, good guys in the sport. As he said, you know, as we discussed, he's one of those, Justin Greskowitz for a long time, for a lot of people, he's one of those guys that always takes on all comers. He's always ready to fight. He's always ready to go. He's always in shape. Always ready to put on a good fight. And win or lose, always comes out with a great attitude and kind of displays that Muay Thai attitude, which is really, you know, just humility, get in the ring, fight, do your business. And then, gentlemen outside of the ring, warriors inside of it. So really cool to talk to Justin. And he's definitely one of those guys that we're going to have on. We're going to keep kind of trying to bring him on as much as we can, man. All right.
And
so
on top of it, he eats purple people.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. He is the purple people eater, man. So. He's rough. He's rough around the edges. All right, man. So with that said, guys, all right. So you can always tune into the Striking Corner. As you guys know, you can tune into us via our website, strikingcorner.com. You can also listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on TuneIn, on pretty much, what is the other one? There's a bunch of other, SoundCloud. You can listen to us everywhere that there is podcasts, and podcasts are available. You can find The Striking Corner. We are available on Instagram at Striking Corner, on Twitter at Striking Corner. You can contact us via email at info@strikingcorner.com. And pretty much also on Facebook at facebook.com/strikingcorner. Also, we actually have a fan questions line that you guys can call, and we were going to do the fan question segment. We wanted to do something with Justin, but we knew that a lot of people had been out pretty much for the holidays, so we knew that it was going to be kind of hard to get everybody in at that moment, to kind of send in their questions or whatever and do everything since everybody's been out for the holidays. So that number to call, though, where you can leave a message, you can send us a message, you can send us a text for anything that you want to talk about on the Striking Corner, possibly somebody you want to recommend to be on the Striking Corner, anything you want to let us know, you can drop us a line there. The number is 646, area code 646, and the number is 598-9462. So you can leave us a message or a text there at the Striking Corner fan questions line. The segment of the fan questions is a segment that we're going to be doing with Vinny, where Vinny will be answering your questions. Anytime we have a guest on, we will let you guys know beforehand so you can send in your questions either via Twitter, via Instagram, or info@strikingcorner.com, or the easiest way on the fan questions number, which is once again 646-598-9462.
And most likely, the stupider your question is, the more likely it will be read on the show.
Pretty much. So, you know, be creative, guys. If you want to have your question read on the show, you know, just be creative and we will read it. And that's pretty much it. You can get in contact with me at eric@strikingcorner.com. I'm also available on Instagram at ericcowsomrit. And that's pretty much it for me. Vinny, how can they get in contact with you?
You can get in contact with me at Vinny with a Y at strikingcorner.com. And I'm also on social media, pretty much all social media outlets as Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T.
All right, Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T, representing Staten Island Muay Thai. All right, guys, so we will be back. Actually, this is, like we said, we will be back in, 2 weeks with another episode. And we hope to hear, we hope that you guys will tune in once again. And thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more Muay Thai and kickboxing content. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Striking Corner.